Hello and welcome to ID, a series of empowering messages where we boldly take hold of our new identity in Christ and live it out in confidence here at Empower Church.
In recent weeks, we've been studying what it is to have a great sense of identity in Christ. And I trust this series has been helpful to you so far. We're at the halfway mark now in this teaching, two down, two to go. And just a reminder that the ID ammunition document is available at the e-desk. That's a printed document for you to be able to study in your own time and help us to be able to apply the amazing promises of Scripture to our life, who we are now in Jesus. And we've also got that available online as well from our social media on our Facebook page as a note. That's all there. You'll be able to save that to your phone or save that to your favorites. And maybe during a lunch hour or something like that, pull it out and be meditating on what the Scriptures say concerning you. There'll also be some more devotional encouragements coming out via Facebook over the next couple of weeks as well, just to build us in our new ID in Christ. In week one, together, we talked about the majesty of our ID, that we are a royal priesthood. Last week, we talked about the mission of our ID, that we've got a specific and powerful and profound and personalized destiny. And today I want to talk about how your and my ID is a mystery. Everybody say mystery. Now, I know that when we say mystery this morning, we probably start thinking of Alfred Hitchcock or Sherlock Holmes or Murder on the Orient Express, that sort of mystery, and you'll be relieved to hear that that's not where we're going this morning. This isn't a whodunit in the sense of a crime mystery, but it is a whodunit in the sense of a creative mystery, because you and I are a mystery. We are a puzzle. You think about it this way: we are unlike anything else in the whole world. From our iris to our fingerprint to our voice pattern, we are completely unique. And our full intelligence, our full capability, our full potential, our full actualization is only truly known by the one who made us. Contrary to what people might say, you and I don't know ourselves the best. You don't know you best, and I don't know me best. Your spouse doesn't know you best. The one who knows you and I best is the one who made us. The one that the Scriptures describe who wove us together in our mother's womb. The one who has numbered the hairs on our head. The one who has engraved our name in his hands. And the one who bottles our tears. That's all Scripture about this personal, wonderful Father God, the author of all of our stories. And because he's a loving, relational God, when he first created us, he specified that we were to be a people made in his image and likeness. Genesis 1:27 says this: "So God created man in his own image. Male and female, he created them." An image is a reflection of the original. God is the original and we are his image, his likeness, his reflection. You think about the illustration of a mirror for a moment. If we hang all the way back at a distance and don't pay a great deal of attention to what's going on in a mirror, then we're going to be pretty limited in how much detail we can make out of that image. But on the contrary, as we move closer to the mirror, the image becomes clearer and suddenly we can make out a whole lot more detail. Every freckle, every wrinkle, every spot suddenly becomes clear as we move closer. What is it that I'm saying today in light of the mystery of our identity? The only way that we'll get to know more of us is by getting to know more of Him. If I am designed to mirror Him, to image Him, to be a reflection of Him, then it is only as I draw closer to God and His Word that I see who I am meant to be and what I am meant to image on the earth. Amen? 1 Corinthians 13:12 says it this way, "Now all we can see of God is like a cloudy picture in a mirror. Later we will see Him face to face, in eternity, in glory, forevermore." But there is still an image that we can make out in the mirror as we move closer. 2 Corinthians 3:18. "So all of us who have had the veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image." Can we see the picture here today? That as we move closer to God and His Word, which is described as a mirror, the Word of God is described as a mirror in James chapter 1, we're going to see a much clearer picture, not only of who He is, but also in doing so, we're going to see a much clearer picture of who we are supposed to be like. For we are His likeness and reflection on the earth. If we pull back from God and don't move closer, the image will continue to be a blurry mystery. And that's sadly the case for millions of people worldwide who have disconnected from any kind of relationship with God, don't have faith in Christ, and they are still plagued with the ID questions of, who am I? It's a blurry mystery. But as we draw closer to Christ, He will begin to speak to us and reveal to us in clearer detail the mystery of who we are. And permit me to encourage us this morning. You are a mystery worth solving. You are a whodunit that is worth exploring and worth pursuing. I said it last week, but it bears repeating. Bethany said it this morning. You have within you a treasure. We are jars of clay, and He has within us treasure. But the only way that we'll discover this mysterious treasure within us is by moving closer to God, searching for Him. Because as we're searching for Him, we'll actually discover ourselves. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter, and to search out a matter is the glory of God. Of kings. He's hidden the mystery in you. He's hidden the mystery in me. That's His glory. And now my glory is to search out what He's put in me by partnering with Him and pursuing His presence and saying, "Father, what have You made me to be? What have You called me to be?" We are a mystery worth discovering. Here's some examples from Scripture of this truth this morning. Number one, we have Abram. In Genesis 17, he was 99 years of age. That's multiple decades beyond what is usually considered to be a man's prime. You'd think that this guy was in the last over of the last innings, but that is not how God saw Abram. One night in prayer, Abram moves out from his tent and moves towards God. He comes closer. And the Lord shines something phenomenal back in the mirror that forever alters His image and His destiny. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham. "For I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you now reside as a foreigner, I will give you as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God." Abram encountered the Lord. He encountered God. And in that moment, his identity was revealed. No longer Abram, which means exalted father, but now Abraham, which means the father of many nations. That was a mystery, particularly at 99 years of age, that only God could reveal. That might seem like a subtle difference to us. Abram, Abraham, they sound very similar, but it made all the difference to Abraham. Because from that day forward, his name and identity was changed. As he moved near to God, God shone back a portion of his identity that had previously been concealed. A mystery so great that it altered his name and revealed his destiny. Amen. Fast forward two generations to Abraham's grandson, and we have Jacob. Now, here's a guy who knew how to get up close and personal with God. In fact, the Bible says that he was so passionate and relentless in his pursuit of the blessing of God that he actually wrestled with the Lord. That's like getting so close to the mirror that you crash tackle it. I would not recommend that, but that seems to be Jacob's policy. And here's what happened. That night, Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go until you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" Then he blessed him there. So God called that place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the tendon attached to the socket of the hip, because the socket of Jacob's hip was touched near the tendon. So here we have a picture of Jacob wrestling with God, desiring to know God's name, desiring to obtain God's blessing. And as he moved closer to the mirror, as he sought to get a fresh glimpse of God, as he wrestled to discover a mystery, he didn't catch God's name. Do you notice that? God didn't actually give him his name, but he did give him Jacob's new name. See how the scriptures describe that he came face to face with God. And in fact, this was so significant to Jacob that he actually named that location Peniel. Peniel means the face of God. But I want us to notice this, that when you get face to face with God, it's not God that changes. It's us. We, his image, come into alignment with who he is, the unchanging God, the same yesterday, today, and forever God. He changes us. No longer are we Jacob, whose name meant cheater, supplanter, but now his name is Israel, the prince who wrestles with God. In an instant, in the presence of God, his name is changed. Can you imagine the impact of that upon our life? Imagine growing up and every time somebody says your name, they're actually saying the word that means cheater, supplanter. That's going to build something of reproach over your soul and over your identity. No wonder this man was so hell-bent on, "I must be blessed. I need God's blessing. I've had an entire lifetime of reproach and people calling me cheater, supplanter." In that moment, he went from crook to king, prince with God, from cheater to champion, from supplanter to one who seeks and struggles with God. That's a transformation mystery right there. That was a significant day for Jacob. And likewise, when we have encounters with God, we can have encounters that are equally as significant for us. encounters that not only change our name and our identity, but also change the way we walk. From that day forward, he walked differently. The scriptures say he walked with a limp. We can have an encounter with God, which not only changes our ID, but from that point forward, changes the way that we walk out our life. Amen. It can alter the way that we see life and see ourselves forever. Thirdly, we see Simon. Simon's got to be one of my favorite characters in Scripture because this is the guy that gives the rest of us hope. If Simon can make it, you can make it. It's going to be okay. This guy talks so much. I mean, when you add up the amount of statements that he makes in the Gospels, it's like 8 times as much as the rest of the disciples combined. And not only is he always talking, he's always saying stupid stuff. He's got the foot-shaped mouth. This is the disciple. Check this out. This is in the canon of Scripture. This is the eternal Word of God, and it records that Simon was interrupted. He talked so much, he was interrupted by all 3 members of the Godhead. That's a lot of talking. He was talking to Jesus, and Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan. You don't have in mind the things of God, but the things of man." Interrupted by God the Son. Then he goes up the Mount of Transfiguration and sees the Lord appear, and he's got this blazing light coming out of him, and Moses and Elijah. And what does Peter do? Peter does what he always does. He talks. He says, "Lord, it's good for us to be here. Shall I build 3 shelters?" And the scriptures say that a light descended from heaven and the Father spoke and said, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." In other words, Peter, shut up. And then in the book of Acts, chapter 8, Peter has gone to Cornelius's house and he's preaching the gospel, and he's obviously going too long, because the Bible says, while he was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell on them and they all began to speak in other tongues. Interrupted by all 3 members of the Godhead. That's a whole lot of talking right there. If God can change Simon and save Simon and use Simon, then he can use you and I as well. Matthew 16 says it this way: when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" Watch what Jesus is doing here. He's calling them into a mirror encounter. He's starting on the outskirts. "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." And then he invites them a bit closer. "What about you? Who do you say I am?" And Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." So Simon saw Jesus clearly. Now watch this response. Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter," which means rock, "and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. How much of Jesus' statement here emphasized who he was versus emphasizing who Simon Peter was? A conversion moment, a new transformative name, where this disciple from that point forward was known as Peter, the rock. So with all due respect to Dwayne Johnson, the apostle had it first. Beat you by about 2,000 years. And here's the point. When we encounter God, we not only find him, we also find ourselves. Abram became Abraham. Jacob became Israel. Simon was renamed Peter. Why? Because they all came close to God, like a man looking in a mirror And in that close encounter, they, the very image of God, was sharpened. It was altered. It came into clearer focus. And their identity from that point forward was never the same again. And the same is true for you and I this morning. You are a treasure awaiting discovery. And God alone holds the key. You are His child. And you might want to know the mystery of who you are. But He has set it up because He's a loving, jealous Father who is only worthy. He alone is worthy of the joyful satisfaction of truly revealing to you who you are. But this mystery is only revealed. The image only becomes clearer. Your name is only changed when you come closer. And then having come closer, you hold on to what you have heard. You need to hold on to what you've heard. When He speaks identity, hold on to what you've heard. James 1, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. When I'm in the presence of God, when I'm in the Word of God, when I'm listening to the Spirit of God, it's important that I not only catch that ID-shaping mystery, that word that He's spoken to me, that He whispers to me in that moment, but also that I hold on to what I've heard. I don't encourage you. You might need a journal. You might need some phone notes. You might need something where you can record with a degree of permanence what God says of you, because the test is on the way. The enemy is on the way to try to steal the new identity that's been spoken into our lives, and we'll talk about that next week. But we need to be diligent when it comes to the Word of God. When I'm reading the Scriptures, here's some tips today. When you're looking for God, don't just look for God in the Scriptures. Still do look for God, of course, but also look for yourself. Place yourself in the midst of that story. What is God saying to me through this? Where would I be in this occasion? And then it becomes a living word picture book where the Holy Spirit is able to speak to us concerning applications for our life at that point in time. Then it's not just a theory book, but a living mirror that shows us clearly where we are at and what we are to do next. Amen? The mystery is revealed through His Word. It's revealed through life experience. Life experience. God will expose us to experiences along the journey that might seem ordinary and unimportant at the time, but in hindsight, we'll see that they added to us. They enlarge our capacity. They increase our competence and our confidence. And that's a great thing. God uses experience, external experience, to mature us and refine us and reshape us. A part of the means by which God will reveal to us the mystery of who we are is through what we do, the people that we meet, the jobs that we work, the experiences that we gain. Now, I'm not saying that you are what you do, but I am saying that life experience is a catalyst that God uses towards our destiny. It was Simon's life experience as a fisherman that Jesus used as a metaphor and said, that thing that you've gained experience in, now I want you to use that in the sea of humanity. Come be a fisher of men. I've called you to more than what you've presently experienced. Fishing's been good, but now that experience is going to be used for something even greater that will matter eternally. Amen? It all matters. It all matters. The mystery will be revealed through effective mentorship. God will bring us people to teach us and help us who see things about ourselves that we don't presently see within us. We all have blind spots. We all have areas where we are self-aware and other areas where we just don't see it at all unless somebody lovingly points it out to us, which is why it's crucial and why Scripture emphasizes that we stay humble, teachable, accountable, asking the right questions, trusting in teachers and leaders in our lives, because God will equip them to see something in our lives bigger than we see in ourselves. I thank God for Dan O'Farrell, who in 1999 saw something in a pimply-faced 19-year-old boy that he certainly didn't see in himself and nobody else saw in him, the biggest dropkick of his school, and yet Dan looked at this guy and said, I'm going to train you for ministry. I reckon there's a call of God over your life. Thank God for leaders and pastors and people who see something in us that we don't see in ourselves. And part of their calling is to help us solve the mystery of who we are by drawing out through creating opportunities of service and ministry where we become more than what we ever realized was possible. Children's ministry for 6 years wasn't my preference, but it was God's purpose. And looking back on it, it was one of the most defining moments of my entire life. God will cause us to do things that aren't necessarily our preference for a while. He'll inspire mentors and leaders to ask us to do something that isn't necessarily our preference for a while, but it's a stepping stone towards the ultimate purpose that God has in mind for us. If you believe it, can we give Him praise today? He'll reveal the mystery through personal discovery resources. Thank God we live in a day of incredible education. Where intelligent and well-researched psychologists and trainers have designed courses and resources that can help us better understand the mystery of how we've been made. Myers-Briggs, DISC personality profiles. In just a couple of months' time, we're going to be unpacking Destiny Finder as a church. It's a spiritual gift discovery course. It's going to be amazing for us to be able to discover how we are wired uniquely as individuals according to the gift sets that are found in the New Testament scriptures. The more that we understand how we think, how our spouse thinks, how those around about us think, the more that we're able to lovingly serve those who would otherwise potentially be confusing and frustrating. But if we educate ourselves on the different kinds of personality types, thank God He's provided these resources to help us solve the mystery, not only of us, but also of how we can more lovingly work with others. Amen? The mystery will be revealed through divine defining moments. These are the things that God uses to transform and change us. It's like a divine setup, a divine appointment, and that thing that happened changed the way that we thought, our approach to life, and even potentially what's important to us. They can come through painful circumstances or major times in God's presence where we go to camps or conferences or retreats. We go away for summit experiences and meet with God, and He speaks to us in that time in a variety of different ways, but they forever mark us and change us. Like Jacob wrestling with that angel, they change the way that we walk forever. Amen. And make a little clearer the mystery of who we are called to be. And finally, God can use prophetic ministry, where someone is graced with a prophetic giftedness to be able to hear from God on our behalf and tap into what heaven is saying to us, where the voice of God comes to us through someone else in order to edify, exhort, and comfort, to confirm and clarify a part of the mystery of our identity that the Holy Spirit has been speaking to us about. These are all some of the means by which God can invite us to move closer, because it's only when we move closer to God that the mystery of our ID will be best discovered. In light of these lives that we've explored this morning, Abraham, Jacob, Peter, They all had an encounter with God that so dramatically changed them from that point forward that it changed their names. To move closer and have the image become sharper, it was as though that image, for some of them, it was like the image shifted and changed and was altered, and an old name was thrown out and a new name was put on. And I don't know what people have called you over the years, and I don't know what you've potentially called yourself, but what I can tell you is that God alone truly knows the mystery of who you are. And He alone has the right to be able to confer upon you a new and divine and powerful name. And in doing so, He will sometimes strip off the old in order to place on the new. For a few moments this morning, I want us to move closer. I want us to draw near. I want us to get in the presence of God and meet with Him and not only see Him afresh, but permit Him to reveal afresh to us the mystery of who we are called to be. Amen.
Thank you for joining us at Empower Church. We're committed to seeing you discover Jesus, grow in discipleship, and fulfill your destiny. To find out more about who we are and how you can get involved, please head over to empowerchurch.com.au or like us on our Facebook page. We can't wait to hear from you.